Guess. Guess. Dental records. Dental records. You guys got a little bit going.
See you on
dental
the other
records.
Side.
Dental records.
Reverend Blue Jeans.
Yeah.
Are we ready?
Yeah. Chicka chicka check.
Okay. Start.
Start.
3, 2. Welcome to Passions for Life. We're your hosts, Natalie Z, Travis Schultz, and Benjamin Hayes. Pull back the curtain on your favorite show you always denied watching, Passions. Ben, I didn't have a bit for you.
Wow.
That's okay. It's Sunday.
It's always wow. Sunday. It's
I'm trying to give you an out.
Sunday, thanks. Yeah. I get so nervous when I have to do that intro because it just never goes away.
Because you didn't do your homework.
I did not do my homework.
Yeah. I
did half of my homework, which is
my
signature move.
Your Brad Pitt anxiety dream.
My Brad Pitt anxiety dream, which I guess we're going to talk about that.
You didn't do your homework.
I did do my homework. The problem wasn't that I didn't do my homework. I did my homework and I also achieved my goal, which was to simultaneously make Brad Pitt fall in love with me.
good job,
yeah,
Ray.
Megan thought that was funny.
Yeah.
And also to convince him that there were bad people after him, even though there weren't.
So George Clooney told her to do this because he's a big
prankster.
He loves pranks.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's beside the point. The problem was that I left my phone in my purse in my dream. And I asked Brad, hey, what time is it? And he said, it's 8:00. And I realized that I was supposed to be home by 2:00, home meaning my high school home, of course.
Yeah.
Home by 2:00. And it was 8:00. And my dad was going to be fucking furious, and I just bolted, took off running to get my phone so I could call and make sure I wasn't grounded. And I woke up in a fucking sweat, just a pool of my own water, of my own juices.
Ugh.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. You don't sweat?
Sous vide. No, I sweat a lot.
Yeah, you do.
But I don't say in my own juices.
Well, that's
no. Most people just say I was sweaty last night.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so it's a dog pile
fucking
on
Natalie
gross.
Day.
It
so, is dog pile on Natalie Day.
All right.
Dog pile.
I have a list
Natalie
of grievances.
Day.
Fun. What do you guys want to talk about?
I'm going to talk about the things that I'm mad at Natalie about.
Okay. Number one.
Number
you know
one.
What
I hate. here's the thing. I was watching, getting ready for the show, and I was listening for the first time ever to the lyrics to the Passions theme song.
Oh.
The very end, she says, I'm the passion for life, singular. But the show is Passions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyone, does that bother anyone or is it just me?
No, it was always
consistent with.
It was always, yeah, I always thought that's, she's not even, they didn't even re-record it at an S.
Mm-mm.
You are my passions for life.
That, I mean, just, they need to rewrite the whole lyric. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they rewrite the whole song.
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah.
It really just bothered me all day Saturday.
Man.
Well, sweetie,
but it didn't. It didn't ruin your day.
No.
Okay. Good.
But it did bother
because that's your. It might
was
be time for you
I
to take a break.
Kept coming back to like I'd be on task, you know, doing whatever, cleaning, cooking.
Oh yeah.
But then when I
Pop
had like some
head.
Downtime, I would be like, yeah. Goddamn song. Why did they write it that way?
Jane French.
That was my experience for the last 4 years.
Okay.
What?
Yeah.
The last four. What's happened in the last 4 years?
Yeah. Oh, you don't remember. You don't remember. That guy that was running this country for 4 years.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd be doing something and then I'd stop thinking about it and I'd be like, this is nice. And then I'd start thinking about it. That was 4 years every day. It was like, and you just be like, all right, I'm out here in the yard working because that's what I do. And then you're like, damn it.
Yeah.
Stupid motherfuckers.
Yeah. It has become sort of the undercurrent for everything. Yeah.
The Jane
now,
French song.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just a day, but still.
Yeah, he had a Saturday.
Reagan gets it.
Reagan gets it. Reagan always gets it.
Yeah.
Natalie had a Monday on a Thursday or something.
I had one hell of a Monday last Tuesday. It was, I keep having them. Keep having the Mondays.
I had an interesting experience. I was picking up some food for the family, and I was...
Did you get a...
from behind, right?
I have to tell you, Natalie, I don't know where I think about that all the time when I'm like outside and walking, and I think about that and I just go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I'm like, of all the things that, and it makes me giggle because I'm like,
a lot.
I'm like, that's so strange.
It happens a lot. Not to me anymore, but back in the day, it happens to ladies a lot, especially in cities, like walkable cities like New York. Oh my God, the amount of.
Oh, yeah. Is that a thing? So it's not like, hey, come sit on my face. It's like, hey, come sit on my face.
The kissing sound seems weird. You can't make it very loud.
No.
Right.
Oh, it's probably just a sign of intimidation. Like,
yeah,
it's so uncomfortable. I'm just going to make you really uncomfortable. I'm looking at you right now. And right. That's not going to make you uncomfortable enough. So let me add this sound effect. That's
kind of what I thought. That was the other day was some other day. I was driving and I see like that dude with the Dixie flag. You've seen this guy on the 5 freeway.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be like, pull up to him and go. And now it's like, don't do that. And I was like, I want to be just like,
well, we
I love your fucking flag,
things.
Bro.
Yeah.
Oh, give it to me.
I feel like I hijacked your story. I'm sorry. You were going to get dinner for the family, and then
I
threw in a thing
Cat
about me.
Call. No, I'm used to it now.
I know.
Hijacked my life.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, consistent. We're consistent, if nothing else. What else?
No,
what
so else, I'm standing in line, yes, you know, doing the 6 feet apart thing, and this really cool David Bowie song came on. I can't think of the name of it. I shazammed it. Oh, yeah, because that's what I was like afterwards. I'm like,
listeners,
what?
Shazam is it's an app that 40 Gen Xers do. Use to find out what song.
Oh, Sound
is
and Vision. Yeah. I was gonna mess it up. That's why I looked it up. But anyway,
I didn't know about Shazam.
Oh, you didn't?
No, because you're too young.
Yeah. I never would have known.
That's why I said it.
Ben doesn't know about Sound and Vision. Great song. And I'm kind of like, yeah, I'm here to pick up Travis. And I'm tapping my leg and my foot, you know, and I'm just kind of like start vibing on the song.
Feeling the Bowie.
And feeling the Bowie. And I'm kind of standing there in my mask. And then I'm like, this woman who's in front of me, she's like, you know, 6 feet apart. She starts doing it. And we're both just kind of like doing that, you know, when you're kind of in your car jammed to a song. And I'm like, this is funny. And I was like, this is a song. It's a really good song, right? And she's like, I just really want to dance. I just want to go out and dance. And I was like, oh, I know, right? Like,
Did she say she wants to dance with somebody?
No,
Was it Whitney Houston?
I want to feel free.
R.I.P.
No, but it was really, really kind of nice because then we kind of bitched about the pandemic and we joked. Like, we were like, remember when we were all worried about the earthquake?
Oh, God, yeah.
I was like, yeah. Oh. She's like, you know, that's like what? A couple of days? Then like a week of aftershocks? Like, I'll take that.
Yeah.
We're just like that kind of like the shit we used to worry about, and now it's like, yeah, I'm worried about going to the store. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just really,
that's so nice to have.
It was
that
nice moment,
that connection with a stranger, because those are the things, I mean, I know there are a lot of things that we're missing out on right now, but that is something that I think that it's not one of the more obvious things.
Talk to strangers.
Connecting with somebody.
You got a mask on. They got a mask on.
Yeah.
You're 6 feet apart. Just say, hey, I like your shoes.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, man, cool mask.
It just feels so good.
Six times out of 10, they'll ignore you.
I disagree.
Disagree.
Four.
Hard disagree.
I think most people don't ignore.
I don't even think anybody's going to do that anymore. I think those days are over.
That's what I kind of am excited about. Yeah. Like I can start interacting.
They'll be assholes immediately, but.
Yes,
but there may be a honeymoon period of a
but
few
it's
days.
Like,
yeah.
It's like this is probably has to do with me getting older because I'm more confident in who I am. But it also kind of it has opened me up because I'm putting this mask on, because I'm forced to stay 6 feet apart from each other. It makes me want to interact with more people that I don't even know.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny how it's allowed me to kind of be this person that I've always wanted to be, which is like, you know, like my dad. I always joke about my dad.
Yeah.
My dad, we'd go on vacations and he'd be like, hi, my name's Urban Schultz. These are my three kids. This is my wife. I'm from Topeka, Kansas. We'd be like, you just, that's just a guy in line, Dad. And he's like, what? You know, I mean, he's in Little League. And so is my daughter's in high school. And we were just like, what are you doing?
He's
and
giving future kidnappers all the details they need.
Well, that's what we would be like. We'd be like, so now that guy knows where we're staying, Dad. In the hotel in Paris, you know, or whatever.
Do you remember those stickers that they put on back of minivans? Is like the dad's name and the mom's name and every kid's name. And at some point, someone realized that was a terrible idea. So you don't see those anymore.
You don't see them anymore.
The stick figures of approximate genders and ages.
Right. Yeah. Right. But exactly.
Now I can't say like, oh, hey, John. Your
mom told me to come
get you. Your mother, Sally, told me to come pick you up.
Oh, it's like, so
hey,
creepy.
John,
yeah,
that's my brother. Right, Jeff. Yes, Jeff. Yeah, you're the littler one. I see that now.
My friend Robert always had a funny little joke he used to say, because you remember when we used to have passwords. Like if you were in middle school, my mom would say, look, if someone comes to pick you up, something happens to me, the password is, you know, Bonnie, which is the name of our dog.
Well, everybody knows.
Yeah, now everyone does. Well, Bonnie's dead, by the way.
It doesn't matter. It
doesn't
your
change the password.
Yeah, Robert said, dog's dead. We're going to change the password.
You've got to update the password.
Right.
Otherwise, because Bonnie doesn't.
Do you imagine that? You're signing into your email. It's like, dog's dead.
Bonnie, that's the case.
Capital B?
Sorry.
Robert said his mom, the password was get in the fucking van. What's the password? Get in the fucking van.
Get in the fucking van.
I don't like it.
Okay.
Oh, back in the 80s, back when kids were being kidnapped left and right.
There was so much kidnapping.
America was great.
That's right.
Oh, right. So you know.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So many
fucking kidnappings.
Devil worship.
Oh.
And the Smurfs. The Smurfs gang. Yeah. Remember this from in Houston?
No.
Okay, we'll talk about it later.
Oh, shit. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Because I made it up.
Oh,
no, I actually didn't make it up. Somebody made it up, but I was in third grade. I was terrified. There was an urban legend of there was this gang. We're going to talk about it now, apparently.
Okay. Yeah.
Was this one of those like the hook?
No, this actually felt more real. Because it just felt legit because it was this like local gang, and they were called the Smurfs, and they painted themselves blue, and there was one girl and the rest were boys, and they would come to your house and fucking murder you.
Oh, it's like Clockwork Orange.
Yes. Yeah. 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 It was, I was fucking, and we were all latchkey kids. So of course we were terrified. And,
That's how you discipline.
I did research years later. And, I believe I found out that it was an urban legend that
would
people
make sense.
Were. Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
It wasn't at the time.
No.
No. We're going to talk about passions
coming
though.
A mile
that's,
away.
Well, like, that's.
Did you see that blue guy down there? Dude, what?
If we had thought a little bit harder, we were children. We were, you know, it was third grade. How old are you in third grade? 8.
In third grade, I was 17.
Right.
Travis got held back
a few times. We were children. We didn't know better. Anyway, enough about that.
Passions, guys. I have a confession to make.
Uh-oh. You didn't watch the episode.
He loved it.
I'm starting to like this stuff.
You're starting to like passions?
I genuinely, and it was probably because of this episode, but I was kind of enjoying it. And I'm like, I'm gonna say this to Ben and Natalie.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I don't know. Guys.
I don't know
I
either.
Don't know.
Because.
But I something in my brain.
Click.
Broke.
You don't have any shows right now.
We don't have any shows. That might be.
But that's what
I mean.
Like, this is becoming our show.
Oh my God, is this our show?
But here's the fact that we're jumping around makes it okay. Because I know I don't have that like itch of, oh, I'm missing something. I don't care. I just turn it on and watch it.
Yeah.
And it's like and the dread of doing this every week of like, God damn it, I'm going to watch fucking Netflix. It's like looking at Instagram. Just takes time out of you. Just it removes moments of your life. They're gone forever. Passions does this to me.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, oh, maybe I'm getting something on this.
I look at it like in order for me to get to hang out with you guys and just shoot the shit and talk about stuff and stimulate my brain in a very different way, I have to sit and watch this. That's like my reward for doing that is that I get to come and also to like engage and interact with other people out there who listen to the show. So I see it as like the broccoli I have to eat in order to get to the cotton candy that we are
absolutely
having right now.
No, because this is like so fun.
I fast forwarded through most of this. I too wanted to make a confession, and that is, and I've never done this before, but I fast forwarded through a lot of it.
I this is one of the more action packed episodes of them all.
I agree.
And that's weird that I this was the one that I chose to be like, fuck it.
I mean, there's a fucking talking tree, guys.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we can talk about
that. I was very happy about the tree.
Oh my God.
Should we start with that?
Yeah. Should we start with backwards?
Well, we are.
So let's, we're not a recap show, but.
The context is we're apparently in Bermuda, which took me about 3 or 4 minutes to figure out.
Okay. Yeah. So.
Because all the sets.
Why are we in Bermuda?
Well, we talked about this last week.
With Margaret.
With Margaret.
Sheridan. So the double wedding fell apart and they went on their honeymoon anyway.
Okay.
To Bermuda. To stay at the Crane Hotel in Bermuda.
The Crane Mansion.
And everyone goes.
They get a discount.
Right.
It's like 10% off.
And everyone goes on the honeymoon with them.
Everyone.
Well, no. Teresa, according to Margaret Easley, who actually did some research, Teresa had to tell Julian something very important.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We all know what happened.
Right.
I saw it in flashback. You guys probably saw the real.
We too saw it in flashback.
We all also saw it in flashback.
Nothing happened between what we saw and what you saw.
No deep dick.
Nope.
Again.
No deep what?
Deep dish.
Dish.
Deep
pizza.
Dish.
Do you want deep dish pizza, Travis?
What happened?
Do you want to go
had
to
some this weekend.
Masa of Echo Park?
Oh, man.
God, that sounds good.
Did you know I ate one of those once? All by myself.
A whole one?
Yes. A whole deep dish pizza from Masa?
The deep dish.
Well, it takes a good hour. Oh, God.
Oh,
were you okay?
I was not.
No,
but it was delicious.
They're basically like you ate a tray of lasagna.
Well, okay. This is when I was living alone.
And we called you Garfield.
And you guys always called me Garfield.
And you never understood why.
Fucking funny. No, Natalie was out of town or something.
He hates my
And so I ate it for like a night. You know what I mean? Like
you should have eaten it
for a week. You were probably in New York doing the following when I did it.
So you weren't living alone. You were just alone.
Yes.
Yes. On to passions. Well,
so we're in Bermuda.
and
are Tabitha and Timmy also in Bermuda?
Okay, so this is what we talked about last week, because I was confused. I thought everyone was in Bermuda.
God, but
apparently.
Guys are so dumb.
We're so dumb. The only people in Bermuda are the people at the Crane Mansion hotel.
The Crane Hotel Mansion.
The Crane Hotel Mansion. Everyone else.
Crane Hotel Mansion.
Since we're going there, don't remember that hotel lobby being so blatantly the Crane Mansion. I thought, in my memory, obviously it was the same stage and the same set, but I thought that they had done a much better job of camouflaging it. And every time, I'm like, wait, where are we?
I was confused.
That was a shitty thing for them to do from
production-wise.
Because it's fine if you want to cut corners and save time and save money, and the audience is like, oh, that looks like the same. But storyline-wise, it really confuses people when they're coming in on the middle of it.
When you're playing an elaborate long-form hoax on a friend, forcing them to watch Passions.
Don't know what you're talking about. That's cruel.
It gets very confusing. So cruel. Are we starting with Tabitha and Timmy, who are in harmony?
Tabitha and Timmy are in harmony. And
they're in a cave.
In a cave under harmony, I assume. Or...
No, I think it's under a river or a dam or something, because the water is starting to...
I may have fast-forwarded through these scenes.
Yeah. So there's...
So
they're in a cave.
They're in a cave.
Yeah.
And that cave is inhabited with...
Screaming Nora.
Warlocks.
And Norma.
And Norma has continued to chase them.
Yeah.
And yet to catch them.
Norma
But Ephron. She's followed them. The Warlocks, Tabitha pissed them off, obviously in the late... 17th century, 18th century?
I don't.
Because their outfits are very...
All I wrote and thought was, what kind of bad 70s-era Doctor Who shit is this? It was bad.
It was bad.
It was really
bad.
Do you think it was the characters from Hamilton?
No.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. Because Lynn was not born yet.
Okay.
Watching old people do stunts...
Yeah.
It's terrifying.
So awful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the battle scene between the Warlocks and Norma. I'm like, what?
Battle scene?
Yeah. Yeah. That was a battle scene. And did you notice when Tabby and Timitha were when Timitha were talking that Norma sounds were
looped
over the back. Looped.
Yeah.
Looped. And it's her going, ah!
That's why I stopped.
Ah! And I'm like, I can't understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
And it was so weird.
The staging was, or the, I don't know, design of the table that she's on. She's
right.
I'm like,
the rack.
Yeah. It's loosely.
The stretch rack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loosely wrapped around her legs.
Right.
I'm like, why does she even need help?
I don't know what you're talking about.
They did fast-forwarded all the time. It was like,
once I heard Timmy, hurry up. On a loop, I was done.
Timmy, hurry up and untie it. Even though I can reach where you're.
Oh, she could have just slipped.
She could have just slipped out. Yeah.
So silly.
It was very silly.
Bracelets were loud again, bad for sound.
But it's the shot too. Like, how do you create tension, Ben, with a wide shot? You don't. You have to do a close up, like pop in a close up.
Unless
of Tim,
you're Soderbergh
of Timmy.
And you did two people sitting in chairs from the opposite sides of the room, staring at each other with beautiful lighting.
But that's not suspense. Go. That's not how you build tension.
No, that's tension.
Well, you could have. I mean, it's that great thing in the Lining.
Not if their life is in danger. That's not enough.
Oh, I disagree. What about that scene in True Romance? In the
Travis, what I'm saying.
We're going to teach you about cinema.
We're going to teach you about filmmaking, okay?
No, you're not doing what I'm saying.
Okay, fine. Fine. I have nothing to contribute to Timitha.
How many... You fast-forwarded through some Soderbergh movies, I'm sure.
No.
No.
She's what they call a Soderbergh head.
I'm a Soderhead.
She's a Soderhead. And I'm surprised you haven't seen the tattoo on the back of her calf.
Yeah, you don't know my Soderbergh.
Is that what that is?
That's what that is. You thought it was a mole. A really big birthmark.
Tell me exactly what it is.
It's a tattoo of Soderbergh.
It's a Soderbust.
which looks like a...
It looks like a film reel. But also everything's in wide shots. And the lighting's great.
Yes. And all of that is in one tattoo.
Fucking dorks.
The obviousness of Tabitha's
the worst.
Her being tied up, which she could easily get away, reminded me of Titanic. At the very end, you know, in the door, I'm like,
right.
There's obviously enough room for him on that door.
You can squeeze through there, buddy.
Yeah,
just like hold your breath. I don't know.
And she could have just like slipped her legs out.
Yeah,
it annoyed me.
Maybe those bracelets were holding her back.
Yeah, maybe. Clinky. Yeah,
there it is.
There's a Xena warrior princess reference from Timmy.
Yes.
Apparently,
your true love. You mean Xena?
Yeah.
The warrior princess? Like, no, your true love.
Yeah. I was like, don't be meta.
Charity.
No, they get meta, it's so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that stuff it really doesn't land. It's just like.
Well, also,
again, Catskills.
It kind of does a disservice to the.
Is this thing on?
Like the Harmony world should be hermetically sealed.
Yeah.
It shouldn't. Communicate with our reality, you know, when they have these intrusions.
You can't have it both ways.
That's too late. She already wrote a book.
Well, you and I know that.
Yeah.
Also, Princess Diana.
They start off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Day one is a real fuck up. There's kids in this episode, don't use their magic.
What do you mean, children?
Transitioning.
The children are in this one.
Yeah.
So you mean the teenagers?
The kids.
The teens.
Okay.
The teens. Yeah.
So I got to talk about the teens.
Which?
Because, are we done with.
Yeah, there's nothing there.
I mean, Timothy, it was just so cheesy
and poorly shot, circus music.
And like how Norma's squeezing two of their heads together, the warlocks' heads together, and their eyes are going.
I did get out loud when she was doing her dad's voice. That did make me laugh.
I kind of, again, like I said, I was enjoying it. I kind of just let myself go. But then I was like, I can't watch old people pretend fight anymore.
Yeah.
Like, and I was so glad it was done. But so that stuff looked really scary with the kids in the water, the teens in the water.
Right.
And
are they in Bermuda?
No.
They're
see,
in Harmony. Hurricane Harmony.
So Harmony has a Schlitterbahn that they went to and it broke and another one was drowning?
So a hurricane hit Harmony and caused mass flooding. And
so did it look scary to you from an actor's point of view or from a viewer's point of view?
Both, because I thought it looked really well done because the angle it was shot, and they probably because they went handheld, they didn't have those stupid cameras, and I think they really put in some effort into it. But I just remember I was remembering that I think Charity,
Molly Stanton.
Molly got really sick.
That does sound familiar, yeah.
I think she lost her voice. I may be misremembering.
She's screaming. She's a great screamer.
But I think
screamer.
Because you could see she's wearing like just that blouse, mm-hmm. which was nothing.
Yeah.
Soaking wet. Those kids were soaking wet for days. And the heater they turned on in the morning and they cranked up that heat, but it wouldn't be warm.
No, it was never
like,
warm.
It was never
stages,
warm.
No.
It was not freezing, but like, and I remember her getting really sick, like bad sick.
I do remember
I think she lost her voice too.
Yeah.
And it was just like, well, of course. And then the foam that's in that water. So how they do that is like, it's just this like, they're shooting water at them. And then they're like, swim into that and then pretend to be drowning. And it's exhausting to do what they do, what they were doing. And also that water, like in their mouth, like it's the water that's been sitting in a tank that is then lined with black backdrop. What do you call that?
Sykes.
Mm-hmm. So there's no reflection from the lights. So the light, when it hits the water, goes into the water. So you just see the surface, not anything below it.
Okay.
So it's got basically fabric in it. And then you're getting in your clothes.
Yeah.
And then that water is just recycled for a week and you're swimming in it. And it's just bad for you.
Yeah,
like
it's
you get sick.
Too.
It's
yeah.
like it's like going to Santa Monica and swimming after a rainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you're gonna get sick because everything in LA has washed into the ocean
right
where you're swimming. And I was just like, oh, so that to answer your question, mm-hmm. Natalie, definitely from the actor perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because like Jesse was swimming the whole time, just like back and forth, back and forth. And watching everyone pretend to drown and like sucking in all that water. I'm like,
for like
they
episodes.
Did such a, I know they did such a good job, almost to the point where I would have been like, guys, you don't, okay, you're doing great, but like not so much. And it was so,
save your energy.
But it was, but they were so into it and so like
youth.
I mean, it was really cool to see and it made me feel a little better about like my earnestness on set, but like it was good. It was fun to watch.
Yeah.
And scary.
It did seem intense, and I did also note that I was like, she could have a career as a horror actor.
Great screamer,
scream, and it was like, that was part of me. I was like, no, you don't do that on a soap. You do that for the horror movie.
Yeah.
You don't
like
do it on a soap.
Yes.
Like, it makes your hair on your neck stand up when you hear her.
Yeah.
Miguel.
Yeah. I was not sure what was like geographically happening. Like, are they in? I know they're in a tank in the on stage, but like. In real life, in Harmony, are they just like in a small?
I too was concerned about
like they're not being washed anywhere. They're just kind of like in one.
Yeah,
spot.
Yeah.
Well,
was it a lake or was it just a flood? Was it?
It's a flood. I think what happened is like the dam broke.
Sure.
Mm.
Okay.
Because I think that's why.
And somehow Charity didn't.
Timitha was going to say that, you know, because at the end of that episode, water's dripping in.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's like, "Well, that's strange. Why would it?" Be water above us.
And then I have here, God speaks to Charity. Just kidding. It's a tree.
Yes. And then I said, I'm going to, because I know you're a huge fan of Tolkien and Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
Huge fan. Number one fan here.
That it reminded me, again, of Lord of the Rings, because in the books, in the movies.
As I know.
You will know this. there are trees that are kind of like gods, and they talk, and they move.
Oh, there it is then.
Yeah. So we've got the Ring of Power,
right?
From
which
a few
I know about.
Episodes ago,
mm-hmm.
right?
And now we have talking trees. So someone
was a real fan. Was it me?
It was you. Were you
was
there?
I writing?
Yeah,
for Passions.
Were you telling them, informing them?
Well, you know, they were listening to us.
Yeah,
they were. They had our dressing rooms bugged,
nice.
According to sources.
Wow,
I want more talking tree.
Yeah, talking tree. Talking tree was great.
I love it how she's like, "You're a tree. Trees don't talk. Actually, we all do. We just some of us choose not to." I'm like, I just love the casualness of that.
Yeah,
I liked that too. It was a very like progressively environmentally forward.
Right.
You know,
actually,
message.
Yeah, we've been talking for years.
Did anyone find the tree to be a little disgusting?
Well, it
talking
was,
trees are gross.
It was slimy.
It was kind of slimy and almost seemed like
glory hole
gastrointestinal.
Right.
You know, yeah, it's nasty.
I did have.
Yeah, I remember going to set and looking at it and being like, and then the, like the guy gets in there and he's like doing the thing. And I'm like, this is so cool. Like there's a like puppet. A guy in there.
Yeah.
Like who's got his arm stuck in the thing. The and branches. He's like there. He's working all the stuff to make the mouth move and stuff. And I'm like, that's really cool.
I wrote something down next to the kids, and I don't know if it was supposed to go to the kids, but I think it was because I think it was something that the tree said. But it applied to a lot of what was going on in this episode and what goes on in the show, and it had never really occurred to me. But I just noticed this binary theme that's going on where there's this ongoing narrative about only one person can solve a problem. Or an issue, or there's only one answer to a dilemma. And it made me feel very like, I alone can save you, a very Trumpian sort of, I am the only answer.
Yeah.
He was saying that since day one.
Well, yeah. I mean, he said those words. And
still saying it.
And I realized that is one of a million things that bothers me about this sort of macro idea of the show is that everything is so black and white and so binary. And so there is one person or one thing that will solve this and nothing else will. That's just it's a boring concept.
Right.
It's like intentionally boring, like painting yourself into a corner boring.
It's also in all the Marvel movies and stuff like that. Like it's like good versus evil. There's only one right.
Mm-hmm.
I have a big problem with it because I think that's part of what's going on in this country. It's like people are like, no, I'm right.
Yeah, they were way ahead of their time, weren't they? Yeah, but I think it wasn't just the tree. Because I guess the tree had said something like, you are the only person that can fix this.
Yeah.
This is, you know, this is what's changing too in fiction is like that there's no, and in films, like there's no like Hollywood ending anymore.
Yeah, there's no like, you know? Like proper goody and baddie. Right. Everybody's got shades. Well, because when Reagan will ask me like, is he a good guy or a bad guy? There are a few people where I'm pretty adamant. But for the most part, I will say, it's really complicated. You know, not everybody is everything. People are different shades of, you know, good and bad. Because I think we're really, it's slippery slope.
Everyone, the bad guy thinks, you know, this is what you learn in acting. The bad guy thinks he's saving the world.
Right.
Hitler thought he was fixing the world for the good.
As did Thanos.
As did Thanos. Nope.
can't go there. Well, so
I would
love to save Bermuda and do some quick stop offs at the hospital.
I like your observation.
Yeah, it's a hospital. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, because there are two different places in the hospital we are. There, yeah. There's the Grace and David fuckery, and then there's
the church.
Yeah,
the chapel.
No, the chapel. Thank you. Thank you, Catholic.
Be careful.
Resident Catholic.
I speak for all Catholics.
And then there's the actual hospital stuff, which Margaret easily so astutely pointed out that Eve's signature move is HIPAA violations. It's really
she is not a trustworthy doctor.
She's really don't let her in on your secrets.
So you're like, hey, Dr. Eve.
Yeah.
We have like a patient doctor confidentiality, right? She's like, yeah,
nope.
Of course.
No, we don't.
You'll never guess. Let me just go to the other room real quick.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I was looking at your records.
Something that I was upset about in the previous episode that we watched, and I continue to be upset about, is Pilar.
The lack of you?
Is the lack of me, obviously.
Obvious.
Is Pilar's, you know, I know Ivy so well that I refer to her as Mrs. Crane all the time.
That is strange.
It just keeps happening.
Well, like, both of you, I've meant to bring this up, but I need you to call me Mr. Hayes now.
Okay,
Ben.
All right. No,
it's Mr.
It's
Hayes.
It's Mr. Hayes.
I heard you.
You know I'll do it.
Yes, thank you.
You know
at least someone Hayes. Respects me. Yeah.
But it's like, did you guys, I feel like I know the answer to this. When you were talking to your friend's parents, what did you call them? Did you call them by their first name or did you call them Mr. and Mrs.?
Mr.
and Mrs.
Yeah, I did not. I refused to. I was just like, we're peers. I'm not going to do that old-fashioned bullshit.
It's we've talked about this. So my brother and I find it odd that the guy my sister's dating, he makes her kids call him Mr. Such and Such.
Right.
And it's just maybe if I had stayed in my hometown, maybe that would not be so odd to me. But
no.
My brother and I find it really weird. And you know, I don't know. It's just, it's odd, right?
It's odd. I, for me, that's a whole other level, that we won't get into. But for me, I was just, it felt supremely old fashioned and unnecessary. And I just, I felt like I was being, not disciplined, but I just felt like I was within my rights to not have to call them Mr. and Ms. I don't know. I felt very cocky about it.
That's funny.
It would be so weird if Reagan started calling me Mr. Hayes.
Yes.
That'd be so weird.
It would be very weird.
I'll make her say it.
Mr. Ebell.
Yeah.
Mrs. Parker.
Okay.
Well,
but
what kids do now is they say Mr. Ben.
Yes. And I think that's adorable. I'm so down with that.
There's something weirdly Southern about it, though.
Well,
that's why you grew up saying that and I grew up saying that.
I didn't. I said Mr. and last name. I didn't do Mr.
I meant that because it's a very Southern thing.
Are you saying it feels like antebellum Southern?
I think there's something there, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know the specifics.
Yeah. I hear you. I understand.
I've been reading some books and it's like there's a having people of color refer to.
Yes.
The head of the house is, you know, Mr. Travis.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So I don't think it's as sweet.
I'm sorry.
No, that's
here I am. The rain cloud
about
show
5 minutes ago. And
show up
now
and rain on the parade.
Not into it.
Just call me Eeyore. Call me Mr. Eeyore.
Mr. Eeyore.
Oh,
yeah. I continue to be bummed out about Pilar's insistence that, you know, she's just blurring her personal and her professional lines, and I don't like it. Pick one, lady. Is she your best friend or is she your fucking boss?
That's true.
You can't have it both ways.
So Dr. Eve, speaking of name nomenclature,
yes.
It seems like she wants Sam to, in order to save Ivy, basically to fuck Ivy, right?
Right.
Oh.
I mean,
it's coded language.
To ear fuck Ivy.
To ear fuck her. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think so.
Good observation.
And I
was confused. I was like, what is he going to do?
But I was like,
is he going to lean into her and say, okay, I actually love you.
I love
and
you.
Grace,
I trust
just,
you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now don't die.
I was confused. Okay. Give me some direction here, Dr. Eve. What is it you want me to do specifically?
I mean, that's what's so funny too. He's like, no, I know
well,
what
she
I have to do.
There's a HIPAA violation concern between her and Ivy. So she can't really tell.
Oh,
she, now,
this is the one
now,
time.
This is the one time.
This is the one time she follows the rules.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she has to just wink and nod and say, you know.
And the worst doctor.
Yeah. The only doctor and the worst doctor.
She is not good.
She's not good. I have a couple of questions for you guys about past relationships.
Shoot.
Yeah. So are people not supposed to have past relationships?
Yeah. For such a small town. A lot of people don't know a lot about each other.
I'm very confused about what lie did Sam tell Grace.
Also, there's this idea of the reason I didn't tell you this is because it would have hurt you
so
much.
So bad that our marriage would have been destroyed.
I wanted to ask you guys the same question.
Yeah.
So is there something more I wanted to ask Ben because I don't want to know.
Okay.
Because it would probably fucking hurt me too much.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
There's a reason now he hasn't told me. But I wanted to go a different direction with this, but let's do you.
I truly didn't understand why. I was working back in time. What is the lie that Sam told Grace? There was no lie.
He left something out. Grace wasn't even around slept with Ivy.
I'm about to go on a fucking rant. First of all, yes, Grace wasn't even around. We know this now. Second of all, people fuck other people before they marry their spouses, right? Like that generally happens, right? Third, he didn't know he had a kid with somebody else.
Yes.
Okay. Where's the lie?
I know.
Where's the fucking
exactly.
lie?
Exactly.
I'm so mad at this guy. This David, David is being a dick is what that was the first thing I read. This David guy is being a dick.
Oh yeah, David, I was like, David is the guy. He's like the conspiracy theory guy out there. And you're like,
just asking questions.
Yeah.
following the breadcrumbs.
No big deal.
Like, he's like, no, but, or did he? And you're like, no, but I'm asking you to answer the question. He's like, yeah, but that's the question.
But you ask it.
You ask it. You know, I'm like, oh my God, David, shut up.
Yeah,
you don't just answer my question.
Being concerned for somebody's well-being is the same as loving them. Because when Eve is like, "You got to get, you got to get to Ivy," or you know, I get to whatever, and he's like, "Okay," and she's like, "David's like, see, he's obviously in love with her.
I know. That was so funny.
He showed some kind of empathy for another human being. Like, clearly, he loves her more than you.
Yeah,
clearly.
She's like, Grace would say, she's going to help him. Yeah, but why'd he leave? If he loves you, why'd he leave? She's like, to go help him. Yeah. But why'd he leave? If he loved you more, he'd stay here.
Thank God Grace had something to do.
I know. Like, I love that she got pissed.
To be like the fucking voice of reason and finally be like, you're being a dick.
Yeah. She's like, don't say that.
Yeah.
I like that. I was like, finally they gave Grace a
backbone.
A backbone. Yeah. And it was so good to see her because Dana just like nailed
it. She killed it.
She was like, fucking Lee, get off his ass.
Then here's my theory.
But then.
No.
Sorry.
She, okay, so because we know she's capable, right? And we know she's capable of playing strength. She was fucking retaliating when they would get, when they give her that shit where she's like, I don't know, I have to, she's like, okay, watch how I play this. She's like, you quit fucking writing this shit for me or else this is what you're gonna
get. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
She's like, I can't wait till I play my twin sister.
Right, exactly.
Is that happening?
Does it happen?
Yeah, but I don't think it's
gotta
a
while. Be flashbacks though, because let's read ahead.
Now, where is this in relation to? This is after David is in jail, right?
Yes. If you'll remember, recap show.
Okay.
David, the same episodes that Ivy crashed the double wedding are the same episodes that David's in jail. So this is the honeymoon. This is Bermuda is
Bermuda
the honeymoon
for that, right? Okay.
Right.
So that's that confirms my annoyance. And this is partially Sam's fault. Sam has been essentially letting this conspiracy theorist hang around and just poke. He's basically making what I call McConnell's folly, where he had a chance to get rid of a troublesome interloper in the form of Trump.
Right.
But McConnell just couldn't do it.
He whispered it. Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's a bad word. It is. Like if you say it too loud, it's going to conjure him.
And McConnell refused to put he could have done it. They could have been done with this guy and sent him packing, but he was too weak to do it. Sam should have sent this guy away a long time ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's see what happens.
In his defense, Lindsey Graham Grace was saying, "Wait, I got to hear what he has to say."
But wait a minute,
let's hear what he has to say.
Everyone's got a chance to say what they got to say.
Guys,
you're saying he didn't want to infringe on David's free speech.
Isn't it amazing that the characters that annoy us most, we relate to them through politics?
Modern politics.
Yeah.
It's just the life we're living.
I mean, guys, we're really scraping the bottom here.
Yeah.
Of all
the church chapel, that was
the church chapel. I thought this was interesting. The necessary fiction. That's another thing he said. And that's what got me on like the kind of conspiracy stuff where he's like, everybody has their necessary fiction. And I was like, oh, that's such an interesting thing to say. It's like such a catch-all phrase.
Yeah, it's so nothing.
Like, tell yourself whatever you need to make yourself believe in it. Science. You know what I mean? I'm like, what?
I believe in science.
Oh, that's your necessary fiction. Science. You know, it's like.
How good was Cecily Strong as Marjorie Taylor Greene?
So good.
Science.
I just thought that was interesting. It's like, it's so fun how this old crap that we're watching reminds us of like stuff that's happening now.
That's because there's no new stories under the sun.
You know what?
Which
Shakespeare
is comforting.
Said it too. Shakespeare said there's no new stories under the sun.
Not Shakespeare.
That's y'all. Nope, that was Stoppard. Oh. Tom Stoppard.
Tom Stoppard.
That's also not true.
You know, I took a history class. Tell me if you've heard it. It was around the time that Bill Clinton was being impeached. And I was so fucking mad at him. I was so fucking mad at him for doing this. Mm-hmm. And I was so freaked out about the state of the country and where are we? So innocent. Where do we go from here?
Yeah.
And what does this mean? And what does it look like? I couldn't conceptualize what it looks like going forward. So I took a class. I think it's somebody's urging. I took a history class. It was very, very very specific class, like
American history.
History from 1910 to 1932 or something like a really small, like maybe a 30 or 40 year period, the beginning of the 20th century. And it was such a great move because what it taught me was everything's been done.
Yeah.
everything's been fucking done. This isn't new. Now, what we just went through was a little new, but yeah. And what we're going through now is a little new, but maybe it's not. Like, maybe if I took that class again now, I'd be like, no, we've actually been there. Okay,
but it could be new in scale.
Right.
You look at what Andrew did.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah.
It was, I encourage everyone to sort of go back and study history.
Well, it's like,
go back and study history if you're feeling anxious about it.
Like, as soon as he got elected, I went and downloaded on like one of those, you know, book apps, the destruction of the Roman Empire. Because I was like, now it's like, why are you, and it's like one of those huge volumes. And she's like, why do you want to listen to that with all that's going on? I'm like, so I can prepare. This is a roadmap to where we're going.
Yeah.
I'm gonna see what's coming down the road so I know when we need to get out.
That's why you got to read the Hannah Arendt book.
The what?
Hannah Arendt. Am I saying that?
I don't know.
It's called On Tyranny. It's about how
authoritarian
governments come into power.
Right, how they come into power, yeah.
So Bermuda.
Bermuda. Back to...
No.
Wait, you had a thing too.
Yeah, yeah. Here's what I wanted to ask you guys. You know, because we're talking about secrets and, you know...
Secrets.
Because it's very interesting how David is just like, I love you so much, and, you know... And
he's very casual about it, though.
He's very casual about it, and that's what... He's a great creep. And it made me think, like, okay... Did you have a moment with Amy when you first started dating where you were like... So, Amy, full disclosure, since we're moving forward, this is what you need to know about my past.
Yes.
Did you have that stuff?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Because a lot of my quote-unquote past is my present, you know?
Yes.
I mean, there are exes that I'm still friends with.
Yes.
And that, you know, that...
That's the thing you got.
I'm not unique in this, I don't think.
All my exes have me on lists.
Oh, okay.
Oh, kind of lists.
Wow.
Do we want to know?
Do you want to know?
Greatest ever.
Okay.
No, it's a list. Anyway, okay. We're talking about Ben and his ex-girlfriend.
No, that's the end of the story.
Still friends with him. Yeah. Okay. Natalie?
What? I don't know.
I mean, I know a moment that we had.
Was it the pajama moment?
I don't. Why are you looking at me?
We were in Palm Springs, and I was like, I pulled you aside, or no, you pulled me aside, and you said, hey, so, just so I know.
Oh, yes, yes. Should we tell that story?
You should tell the story.
So, we've been dating for maybe a year, not even, I don't know. Yeah, maybe a year or less. And,
because I think listeners have had this experience. Like, you have to have this conversation. If you're married, if you're in a long-term relationship, like, eventually this stuff comes up.
Yeah, once you get to a certain age, yeah.
And that's why I was kind of... You know, again, I was enjoying this episode because it was making me think about stuff.
Right.
Unless you're someone who breaks up and then moves to a new city every time, in which case you just start over.
I think I dated her.
People do.
Yeah.
So we were going to this party in Palm Springs, and it was the person who was throwing the party, he had known much longer than he had known me, and he knew, you know, friends from before. And on the way over there, I was like, hey, just so we're clear, you know, we were friends for a while, and I know who you are. Is there going to be anybody at this party you've had sex with? And he went, no. Oh, yeah, there may be. Yeah, there may be one. There may be one. And I was like, okay, great. Now that I know, cool. Right. Can you just point her out to me and, you know, just so I know. So I'm in on the joke. And you were like, certainly, yeah. So we get there, we walk in the door, and he turns to me and goes, okay, two. which I really, really appreciated because I don't give a fuck. I would like to know.
Yeah.
I don't want that girl or those girls to be having a conversation with me and thinking, I fucked your boyfriend and you don't know about it.
Yeah.
They can be thinking that.
Which is a very interesting thing.
But I want to know, bullshit, I do know about it. Like, you may think I don't know about it, but I know about
it. It's a very interesting thing, though, to be like the power dynamic of that.
Yeah.
And
it's just about knowledge and power.
I learned a lot about you, Natalie, in that moment. I was like, oh, she wants to have control. She definitely wants control.
Yeah.
And you were not apologetic about it. You were just like, I don't want anybody knowing a secret I don't know about you. And I'm like, okay. All right.
Well, as your girlfriend.
But like, I know. But it's like, you're entitled to. And I'm like, you're not necessarily entitled to. It's my choice to tell you this.
Sure.
But because I respect you and I love you.
Well, I put you in a position where you'd have to lie. if you didn't want to tell
me. Yeah, or I just forgot to tell you.
Convenient.
This is fun. I thought maybe it was more amusing to me.
This is why we do this this
podcast.
Thing.
This is why we do this podcast.
Talk about stuff. We're learning about our lives and ourselves and each other. And,
exactly.
By the way,
how we love and trust each other.
Did anyone notice that the EKG machine in the hospital?
Was it 30?
It was at 30. It just said 30. I was like, 30 what?
30.
30.
BMI.
Yeah, 30 BMI.
Is it 30 beats per minute? Was it some sort of...
It was just 30.
Just 30.
Yeah, you know.
I was just at the doctor. I don't know. What is 30?
Well, it could either be her pulse.
Which would not be
It would be her pulse, because that's low.
Real low.
Yeah, like, that's so that's like what it is.
Almost dead.
Right, but...
it just stays at 30.
But why?
Look, doctor,
these machines... they have the screen that's, you know, 4x4, and in a little tiny corner up in the right, it says 30. I'm like, 30 what? Where's the little blippy tracking of the, you know, the cardiac rhythm?
They ran out
just of... just do better.
They ran out of time.
Man, that machine, that one was broke.
No wonder she's in a coma. They can't diagnose her correctly.
Look, Dr. Eve has worked with this particular instrument so... for so many years.
She built it herself.
She built it herself. And she knows when it's stuck at 30 that the only cure is to find
Sam.
Fucking. Yeah.
Yeah, it means this woman's person is going to die from a broken heart.
Yeah.
Wow. So I've got to get to the bottom of this.
Jeez.
So she goes straight.
It's code. 30 is code for broken heart.
Yeah, it's code for broken heart.
But I'm glad you noticed that it was at 30. Yes. I was like,
that's so funny. I didn't notice that, but I love that you did. There
and she
all
doesn't
that stuff.
Actually seem to be hooked up to anything.
No.
That's a bunch of equipment.
No.
It's, you know what? It's Wi-Fi.
She's getting intravenous Wi-Fi?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's very advanced.
Well.
Harmony.
Guys, maybe she's dying because you're not giving her any fluids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you actually like have some of the stuff.
Saline dress. She's dehydrated.
Like, she probably needs some oxygen.
Yeah.
Oxygen can help increase that 30.
Yeah.
Up to 32.
32.
Yeah.
All right. We have the Crane Mansion. A hotel, lobby.
In Bermuda. The whole, let me just explain that if people are still listening, I chose this episode because. I am in it.
She is.
Oh, finally.
Yeah. One of the very first.
Fun.
When we were conceiving this idea, Val was like, give me a bunch of catchphrases about the show. And one of the catchphrases that I chose was loud zipper body bag. Because one of the days that I remember so vividly on set, more than most any other day, I think, was the day where Galen had to unzip the body bag. In Bermuda. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
And if you notice, you can see Travis in the background turning his body because he's about to fucking lose it. He's about to lose his shit. This was one of those days when we all got in trouble because we could not.
We got yelled at.
We got yelled at because we couldn't stop laughing because every time Galen would do the zipper on the body bag, they would say,
slower.
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 Slower. Slow. And we were like,
Galen was like, can't fucking go any slower. It doesn't. They're like, no, we want to hear the noise. Faster, Galen. Quit fucking around. And we just,
we
lost it.
Lost
I mean, probably 20 fucking minutes.
I mean, got in trouble. Like,
Galen,
like when you're
I think
in church.
Galen got mad at us.
Galen actually ended up getting mad at us. Yeah. It's very rare that Galen's not in on it. But yeah, he was like.
Well, because he was struggling. Because he was supposed to be, you know.
Mourning.
And reeling. And like, all right, I'm about to open a Ziploc bag. Or.
A Ziploc bag.
They spare no expense in Bermuda.
They did not. They just sewed on one of those zippers onto a Ziploc bag.
We just kept saying, but don't grease it up and make some noise. Oh, man. It was just so silly.
And it was so funny to see like all that hoopla in that tiny little shot.
Yeah. We were like, why it was so funny about it is because they're like, Galen was saying, why do you want me to unzip it slowly? It doesn't make sense because I would not want to, I would unzip it normally and then open it to see what's inside. And they're like, because we want to build up the tension. And we were all like, we were like,
and then Travis was like, but not, that's a wide shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, what? And we're like, yes, if you go slowly, it builds up the tension for that last moment when you open it. And we're like, no, it doesn't. It sounds just makes ridiculous.
People, it makes people go, why is that? Why is
why is he
so
opening
slow,
the zipper so slow?
It's so loud.
And they were just like, no, no, we know what we're talking about. We're like, it looks ridiculous. Sounds ridiculous. And they're like, we love that sound.
It was so funny.
And we're just like, you guys are fucking idiots. And that's why we couldn't stop laughing. Because we were like, this is how they think to build up tension will happen. If you unzip something slowly.
Give me more of that sweet, sweet zipper sound.
Oh my God. Like,
if they had only seen
my Soderbergh
tattoo.
How about use the fucking cameras and maybe tell people in the fucking music department to
amp up the
yeah, like
the score.
Here's how you would shoot, right? Like just on the top of my head. And you're a director. You know this. You're a director. You zip it, and then you do the reaction shots.
Yes!
Every close-up
reaction
shot. Oh, my
God!
Yes.
Look at you!
We sold it.
You sold it, guys. You hear the sound. You go into Quinn. You go into Ethan.
They didn't have enough cameras.
You go into Julian, Rebecca.
They had two cameras.
Dude, you just... What are you talking about?
Look, I'm not defending them. I'm just saying there's got to be
It would have required editing.
Yeah.
God, I'm so mad.
Didn't have time for that.
Sick roast.
Sorry.
Sick roast.
I have
sick roast.
Travis, you have cool pandemic hair in this.
Yeah.
We talked about it in the last episode. Yeah. I was convinced that he had done a pact with the cast.
This was my rebellious period.
Mm.
I was like, I'm going to grow my hair out.
Yes.
To get them back.
To stick it to them.
All the guys
man.
Were growing their hair out, that looks like.
That's
they
what
had,
I thought.
They all had, but they then got it cut long. I was just
you're
letting
like,
it
well,
go.
Well, can you explain
you see the flip in the back?
My
the
hair?
Flip?
I can't. Here's what's confusing. No, I can't.
No,
here's what's also confusing about you being in this episode. Why?
Why am I ever in any episode?
But, did you have some sort of very expensive, like per word, per spoken word?
Yes, I had a
bonus.
I had a guarantee.
So
they had to write me into certain episodes because they had to. Especially, was this the first year? No, this is 01. Yes. This was still during the first, so they had to.
Yeah, they had to bring her in.
They had to use me for a certain amount of episodes.
Yeah, they were like,
right. They had to pay me for not, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think I can explain this, and this is bullshit, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. My mother was going to Bermuda to marry Julian, and I was probably going to be the fucking maid of honor, because we're inseparable.
Oh, that's right.
We're like a real Reagan Natalie duo.
Get down here.
We can't be away from each other for 30 seconds without one of us crying.
Oh, yes. That's what happened too. Someone was like,
but why didn't they give you any dialogue?
Get Gwen here? Because her mom's getting married. We should have her there.
Well, you know, Sharon was my best friend.
Yes, she was.
She was my best friend.
Was. Keyword is was.
But you didn't have the brilliant idea to, which I thought was going to be an instant solution when Luis is like, oh, I can prove that it's not her right now. Then we cut to commercial and we come back like, all right, what's your proof? He's like, I'm going to call Harmony, have them fax over.
Right.
Dental records and fingerprints.
Right. Yeah.
That's going to take several days.
Yeah.
Nice solution, Luis.
Yeah, Luis.
No, and I was actually impressed. I was like, finally, Luis is onto it.
Same.
He did some good work.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did do some good work. There's another classic passion stall, though, if you notice, about who's going to open the body bag.
Yeah.
You do it.
Oh, my God.
No, you
God.
Should do it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And that's another thing, too. I even wrote here, I was like, another way to build up suspense is if he starts to unzip it and Gwen steps forward and says, no, wait. Luis, don't. I don't know if I can take it. Like, cut to
commercial. Could have given me a line.
Yeah.
They could have given you a line.
They could have, it could have been like Rebecca stepping in and saying, oh, just do it. And then Luis getting distracted and saying, you need to stay the fuck out. I mean, there's so many other ways to build up the tension.
But you're right. They could have given Gwen a line.
Yeah.
She's just there. I didn't even realize that was you because the transfer is not as great.
Did you see where she was like, just the top of her hair was the over shoulder shot of Rebecca and Julian, like they're talking, and it's just like you see Natalie's like forehead and her hair.
I was focused on
it was
Rebecca.
So
and
funny.
Julian.
I'm like, wow, they didn't even try. They didn't even like say, wait.
Like, wait, let's get her in. No, did you? But can we talk about the look? The look, my look. This outfit, I loved this outfit. And looking at it, I'm like, what?
They're so shapeless,
and there's like a weird wide hip belt, which we were all doing. Like hips were the thing.
Two things. You're probably warm. In it, and you're probably comfortable.
It wasn't warm. I was never warm. It was sleeveless. But
nothing
changes. Yes, no, nothing changes. It. I thought it was so cute, and I think it was designer, like Prada or something. I did not wear it well, but I thought I did. It was one of those things, like you think you look so cute, and then you look back and you're like, there's no shape to this thing. There's no, like, it looks like a fucking trash bag in my hair. What was going on with my hair?
But that was the style.
Yes, it was. But that's why I'm saying you look back and you're like,
I'm going to go back and look at it. But
I had a matching purse too. The purse matched beautifully, and we were just so proud of that. And it was a Prada bag. I think I still have it somewhere in this room. And I loved
her bags in this room.
I loved it. It's in that cabinet right there.
In the wall. She
I put them in the wall. Yeah, nice. I do like the telltale heart.
Speaking of how parents address older, or sorry, kids address older people.
Yeah. Yes,
you have stopped calling Julian dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Call him Julian now.
Julian.
Very sad.
I also love that, like, after that poor captain describes what happened to the body, which is very gruesome.
So badly thrashed.
Badly thrashed amongst the corals and the reefs. And then we're like, well, everyone's like, well, how do we know if it's Sheridan? And then Ethan, genius fucking lawyer, is like, what about her clothes? I'm like, God damn. Yeah. And then it's like, did you remember what they said about the thing? what about her clothes? Yeah. That was so funny. I'm like, oh man, they love giving me shit. I was like, Ethan's such an idiot.
I felt bad for Rebecca or for Andrea because she didn't really know what emotion to play. Cause it's like, poor fucking thing. She's just like, am I evil? No. Oh, I'm sympathetic. No, I'm evil. Oh, sympathetic.
She to me had kind of a proto Christina Hendricks madman look going on.
I liked her look a lot. Yeah. It was very cute.
Yeah, that hat.
I don't know any of those references.
Christina Hendricks from Mad Men?
You've never watched an episode of Mad Men? Never seen Mad Men?
Oh, no. Linda.
What's happening right now? I think he's doing a bit.
Mad About You.
Yes.
Yeah, Linda from Mad About
Linda
You.
Linda Fiorentino.
Yep. From
Mad About You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Men. Mad About You. Men.
Yeah. Mad About Men.
Mad About Men.
Mm-hmm.
Great show.
It is a great show.
Yes. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's great.
The style was there. What else do we have to say about Bermuda?
Bermuda. I thought Galen did a really great job.
I thought he did too. I think that Luis, however, needs to go to therapy about his denial. He's always in denial about Sheridan being dead. but to his defense, she's never dead.
She's not dead. Like,
okay.
I love how, and Ethan's the same way. It's like, I'm ready to move on.
Because
I've looked forward in the next episode, like a couple episodes after, and there's like, he does a eulogy that I watched. He does. I do. Mm-hmm. They do. I enjoyed my performance but it was very interesting that I was like, oh, so Ethan's finally moved past it. He's accepted that Sheridan's finally dead.
Yeah, somebody has to.
Yeah, well, exactly. It had to happen because I mean,
yeah, it happens to us all.
Put a scene near a coffin.
Yeah.
They had to keep us in Bermuda. Yeah, man. I think we got it, guys.
I think we've actually covered everything
more in this podcast than we have in previous podcasts.
I think that we have peaked.
We have wrapped it like a burrito.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we wrapped it like a what, Mr. Hayes?
Like a burrito.
Yeah.
There was a guy I went to film school with, Ian, at the end of whenever we were shooting his movie.
Right.
He'd say... He's a bit like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. He's like, all right, guys, that's it. Wrap it like a burrito. Ian, if you ever hear this, it's said with much love.
It's very cute. Just, in my head, I was like, I want to meet that guy. He sounds like such a sweetheart.
He's awesome.
He's so great. So, hey, everybody.
Let's do some
themes.
Themes. Sorry. Themes.
Shit.
Oh, man.
I have mine.
What is it?
I alone can fix this.
That's good.
Oh, man. That one just...
That's a sad theme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Travis?
Necessary fiction.
Okay, that's good. Mine is water is thicker than blood.
God,
didn't you use that already?
Yes.
No.
He's got seven. And we've already rotated back to number one.
I feel like you used a version of that.
No, it was like Mother Knows Best or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah.
No, it's not. Because blood is thicker than water. But in this episode, water is thicker than blood because...
Oh.
I switched it.
You switched it.
I spoonerized it.
Housekeeping.
Trees. Trees, necessary fiction.
Yes.
What is it?
Trees, necessary fiction. Trees and necessary fiction. All right. Housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
All right.
Housekeeping.
Listener. Yeah. Listener emails.
Listener emails on the weekdays. You can email us questions, things about the show that you want to talk about.
Observations. We love questions, though, because then we get to answer things.
Yeah. That's, corrections. That's really kind of what it
is.
Yeah,
corrections.
Email passions. Oh, yeah, corrections. Emailpassions@gmail.com. Follow along with us on Twitter, @passions4. We're also on Instagram, @passionsforlifepod. Rate us and review us.
Yes, on Apple Podcasts.
Apple Podcasts.
Yes, and there you can find a link to the instructions for the supplemental video, so you can follow along at home if you so choose.
Wink,
the
wink.
Supplemental video is fun.
Mm.
It is.
Just take a look at it.
Yeah. Sure, just trust us.
And then rate and review.
And then rate and review.
5 stars, please. As always, please take care of yourselves. And till next week. Bye.
Bye.
Stay safe.